Blog Talk Radio.
Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 Parking Circuit, Section 1
Boy. Henry 8, Henry 9, responding gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K 911, unattended 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 Parking Structure, Section 4 Boy.
Responding to 401 Parking Structure, Section 1 Boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and around.
484 suspect, this female, Hispanic, 28 years of age, blue jeans, no further.
Control 5 Frank 401 is a route.
And welcome to another live edition. That's right, live, L-I-V-E, live edition here at the Private Officer Talk Radio Network on this Monday evening, the 19th of September. Glad that you have joined us on this kind of overcast, cloudy, typical fall day here in the Southeast. Hope that you have had a great weekend and that things are going well with you. We've been off the air for a couple of weeks, enjoying a little time off, and which we normally do each year around this time as folks enjoy the long Labor Day weekend. Back to school is going on. People are getting back into the swing of things. Summer vacay is over, and, you know, things are starting to shape back up into normal life. And so we normally take a couple of weeks off in September. As we know that most people are not available to tune in. But we are glad to be back on the program tonight, and we've got a great show for you. We have, we'll be talking tonight about private police and how it differs from state to state. We have a couple of guests who will be joining us tonight. We'll be talking particularly about the way that Virginia, the state of Virginia, operates the Conservator of the Peace program, the Special Conservator of the Peace program, which is equivalent to a private special police officer, and how their state differs from others who offer the either a special commission or have statutory authority of arrest. And we'll be talking about that later on in the program. Here on the 19th of September, it is cool. Wherever you might be, you may be still enjoying the warm weather along the Gulf Coast or out in the west someplace, but here on the southeast corridor, we are definitely in prime fall season. Even the trees are beginning to change colors. Temperatures are cooler in the day and at night, and even leaves are dropping, have been for several weeks now, as fall is definitely in the air. Apple cider, football, and pumpkin pies. All right, let's hear it for the pumpkin pies. Those of you who have gone to a football game in the last week, an NFL game, you will have noticed a bit of a change. We'll be discussing that coming up momentarily. But this week, we want to remind you, is the Private Security Officer of Memorial Week. It is the fourth year that we are recognizing the security officers who have been killed in the line of duty. We have several ceremonies scheduled, several companies who are participating in their own ceremony. One was held yesterday. We do ask that if you are a uniformed officer, that you wear a black band over your badge and that you recognize the almost 700 security officers killed in the last 5 years. We also ask that you make it known to your cohorts, your coworkers, and your company managers and supervisors that this is the Private Security Officer Memorial Week, and let them know what that is all about. We have a couple of radio and TV interviews scheduled up this week. We'll be talking about this very important recognition to the media and hopefully get the word out a little bit more. We're also asking that you post the information on your Facebook, MySpace, or Twitter if you are a socialite and you use a lot of social media, that you get the word out. Let people know that there is such a week in existence, that there is a organization that recognizes the many private security personnel, men and women, who lay down their life protecting life and property across the nation and around the world. This actually is not just a U.S. recognition, but it is something that's being done across and around the world, across the country and around the world. And we ask that you get involved in some small way, even if it's only spending a moment in silent prayer or silent recognition of the men and women who have given their life protecting life and property. If you would, post the message at least once, maybe more, on your Facebook or Twitter and get the word out. September 18th through the 24th. Now, next year, we have a much larger scale operation plan for this week. We'll be giving you more details in the upcoming months, but this is going to be huge. And we are really looking forward to getting that part of the operation up and running. We will be giving you more details in the upcoming months, but this is going to be huge. It will be something brought to many parts of the country and definitely will gain media attention, attention from local security companies and agencies and law enforcement alike. So we're really looking forward to that, but we're in the planning stage right now for that big ceremonial recognition week next year. So keep that in mind. Again, we do ask that you get the word out, even if people don't want to hear it or don't pay attention. At least let them know that it does exist, that there is something that does recognize the men and women who have been killed in the line of duty. Post it on your Twitter, on your Facebook, on your MySpace, and get the word out. Well, we have a lot of stuff to catch up on, a lot going on, and a lot to tell you about. A couple of things coming off the news wire here just momentarily in the last few moments. We do have breaking news. Two are dead in a shooting at a Lowe's home improvement store in Concord, North Carolina. That is a suburb of Charlotte. According to police, husband and wife or ex-wife are dead, possibly a domestic involved situation. It is a live crime scene currently. From the information that we have, the shooting occurred in the store. Also, over the weekend, another incident at a Burger King in Florida where an employee was killed by an ex-spouse. This seems to be headline news almost every week. And something that we need to consider, is the employer liable? Do they have any responsibility when an employee is killed by a spouse or a boyfriend on the property? Something that you need to ponder, especially if you are an employer. If one of your employees gets killed while on duty, whether it be a cashier, a janitor, or a cook, by an ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, estranged husband, are you, the employer, responsible, liable, culpable in any way? While some would say definitely not, I beg to differ with you. There are things that need to be considered here, things that the court will take into consideration. Did the employer have any foreknowledge, any previous knowledge that there had been a domestic problem? Was the employer notified previously? Did they have any signs? Did they have any communication that the woman or the husband may be in personal jeopardy while on the job? Had there been previous confrontations at work with an ex-spouse, an ex-boyfriend? Did the employer do anything at all to negate the situation, to respond to the situation? Did they call law enforcement? Did they offer the employees some time off to get their personal affairs in order? Did they call any type of agency to assist in counseling or any other victim type situations? And these are things that the court will, ask and investigate should there be a lawsuit in any of these employer on-the-job related shootings. Something for you to consider. Personally, I think that employers need to take more personal interest in the employee, personally get to know them a little bit more, find out what their personal life is about, what their personal issues are, have more of a heads up. Stop treating employees like they are just a number. This could, possibly avoid these type of incidents from happening. It definitely will make the employee feel more like they're cared for, more like they're a team member, and engage them more as an employee. But if you're an employer, this is something for you to ponder yourself as we see more and more employees killed by exes and spouses on the job. It really does help safety, productivity, and the overall safety of the environment to know what's going on with your employees. Just FYI, something for you to consider. Also in the news today, coming off the press releases earlier, a security officer was injured, is in critical condition at the Reno Air Show. I'm sure that you are well aware of the tragedy that happened at the Reno, Nevada Air Show. A few days ago, 9 people are dead, about 85 people injured, and we have word now that a security officer is among those. Also, if you went to, as I was saying earlier, any of the NFL football games in the last week, you may have noticed there are stricter pat-downs and searches, something that the NFL said that they have decided to enforce. It's always been part of a rule, part of the way that they were supposed to do business, but they have stepped it up a notch, and they will be strictly enforcing pat-downs, stricter searches of everyone coming through. Containers will be searched. Anything that you're bringing in will be checked for weapons, for drugs, for alcohol, for anything that is considered to be contraband. Just last week during an NFL game, someone was able to get a stun gun past security and got into a confrontation. There was a brawl. Several people were injured. Several people were arrested. And the NFL said that they are tired of these type of situations, and they're going to really start cracking down on security. Whether or not they do, we will be monitoring that and letting you know in the upcoming weeks and months how they are doing. But certainly it is a step in the right direction. Many of these sporting events are just wide open for these type of situations to occur. You have alcohol, you have a lot of emotions going on, you've got a large crowd, you've got people that, maybe just don't know how to behave, and definitely don't know how to behave when they have one too many. So we will be monitoring the NFL and also others, the NBA, baseball, and others, to see if they follow suit in the upcoming seasons. Like I said, we've got a lot to talk about and a lot going on and, a lot of news to bring you as well. And we'll get to them all during this show. Good to be back here live on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. All right, we are back live with you on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. As always, we want to remind you that if any time while we're on the air, or maybe later on as you are listening on demand, you can always contact us at radio@privateofficer.com. Radio@privateofficer.com. We will be glad to announce any training or upcoming events in your area. We'll be glad to announce even your birthday or your wedding anniversary. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. You can also follow us. We're pretty active on our Facebook page now and our Twitter. Simply just go to our new redesigned website at privateofficer.com, www.privateofficer.com, and you can click on right there our Facebook and our Twitter feed, our Twitter pages, from our home website. Also, all of our news, all of our blogging, actually quickly and immediately goes into our Twitter update, and you'll immediately be notified if you are a Twitter follower. So that's good, you know, a good way to get quick news and updates from Private Officer International. Also, we have our own forums, pretty active. Lots going on there lately. If you'd like to be part of it, just go to our main website at privateofficer.com and click on the forums link and join today. It is free of charge, doesn't cost anything at all to join. Just go to our main website, www.privateofficer.com. We'll be glad to have you as a member. Also want to remind you, if maybe you aren't aware, you can also be a guest on our radio programs, or you can even co-host one of our shows. Simply send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. Tell us the topic or subject matter that you'd like to talk about. Give us a little synopsis, scenario of what it is that you're going to go over, and we will be glad to have you on one of our programs. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. As I was saying earlier, we are tweaking our website. We are adding and deleting certain material and content and getting it a little bit more streamlined. We are also adding some new video stuff, and we'll be streaming video on our website soon. We've also updated our training segment, and we'll be adding more to that. We'll be adding more about our chapters. We'll be linking our chapters there on our main website as well. And we've got a couple of other things going on with the tweaking of the website, and we hope to have that all done and completed with within the next week or two. So if you've been to our website lately, you probably noticed there's a little something going on there. All right, now I want to talk about something before we go into our guest segment tonight that is very important, and we'd like for you to get involved, and that is the Officer Down Rapid Response Teams, which we've been doing some training on over the last month. We have another training segment scheduled for next week. An email will be sent out to everyone who wants to be involved. But the Officer Down Rapid Response Team, the purpose of this is really to get security personnel out there to kind of help those injured, let them know that someone does care, that they are not alone. And basically, it's just a general contact to see, let them know, first of all, that somebody is out there that cares about them. And second of all, see if they have any particular needs that either their employer is not meeting or others in the community can't meet. And it may be just the fact of a contact, a phone call, a card, or maybe something more in depth. But that's why we're going through our training process, and we will be training more on that next week, and we have a need. So if you'd like to be involved in the Officer Down Rapid Response Team, send us an email to adminassist@privateofficer.com, adminassist@privateofficer.com. You may or may not be aware that we have been working with some legislators throughout the country. We are in the process of getting some laws changed to make assaulting a private security officer a felony in every state. And there are a number of states, three or four, that currently have such a statute in place so that if you assault a security officer, it's just like assaulting a police officer, and the level of the crime is just the same. Well, we are happy to announce that just this past week, Governor Brown in California passed a new law into effect. It is now a law. Battery against a security officer is within itself a specific law, and it is an upgraded charge from assault. So if you assault a security officer, battery in California is the same as assaulting. It's a physical contact. Then it upgrades the charge and the penalties, the jail time and the fines. And we're glad to see that that has been passed. And also, we are working. We'll be meeting with the Connecticut legislation next month. We'll be testifying probably before a full hearing on this issue with the Connecticut legislation, probably in January or February. We're also working with the state of Georgia and a number of other states to upgrade their statutes to make it a felony to assault a security officer. If you'd like more information, you can go to our website or send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. There's a lot of conversation going on right now on our forums about this topic, so it's important to be part of the forums because everything that happens at POI is usually going to be found on the forums at some point or other. So join our forums. If you're not already a member, or if you are a member but you're not that active, you might want to get more active because that's where everything appears. All of our information, our news updates, this is where we post our information on our officer down responses, our legislation, all of that information is right there for you on the forums. So you might want to join or become more active if you're not. Hey, I've got a couple of minutes. If you'd like to call in and you're listening, I know a lot of people are busy and whatnot, but the call-in number, if you're interested, the area code 347-426-3807. Again, that number is 347-426-3807. I know a lot of people listen to the broadcast after the show and at work and whatnot, but I just thought if anyone wanted to call in and talk about anything or ask a question, I would throw that out for you. But in the meantime, while we're listening out for anyone who might be calling, I do have another breaking news item which has come across the across the wires just recently, just in the last 8 minutes. We have a report of a security officer being shot. This happened in Cleveland, Ohio. Police say a security officer was shot. Looks like he was confronting a burglar. And we will get you more information on that coming up either during the show or after the show and get that information out in an email broadcast. If you are not a subscriber to our emails, we suggest that you do sign up. All of our headline news, all of our breaking news, all of our happenings that are newsworthy is broadcast out through our email chain. Our email broadcast, and it's a fast and quick way to get informed of what's going on. So if you're not already a member, if you're not already signed up to the news alerts, you can do that on the homepage at privateofficer.com. We have about six major capital projects that we're working on right now that need to be funded. And instead of going out and getting a loan, asking for donations, we're not. We're simply asking that people involved in the private security, private law enforcement, public law enforcement, or vendors, supporters of the security industry become members. Right now we have a number of membership deals going on, and we'd like for you to become memberships. The price is very reasonable, and you get a ton of benefits. If you believe in the mission of Private Officer International, then please support us through your membership, and donations are also welcome. Right now, we need to raise about $150,000 to help build a permanent private officer memorial wall, to help fund our Vets for Life program, our expansion of our offices, some other future ventures that we're working in. and we need for you to support us. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the link for the association and be a member today. We really need you to be. We also have an email. It looks like this came from Lawrence, and he wants to know about the armor program. We are working on getting our program up and running where we're able to assist folks with vests. There is a application process, and there's some requirements, but we are trying to help as many people as possible with that. More information will be coming up here in the near future. While we're waiting for our guest to call in, I'd like to remind you that we are accepting limited advertising currently on our web and other media that we have. If you'd like to advertise your program, your training, your company, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. We have very reasonable rates. And we are allowing just a small amount of advertising on our website. And basically, it is very reasonable. And we'd like for you, if you're interested, to contact us. Just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. I also want to remind you that we do have a number of regional seminars coming up. If you are interested in having a seminar at your company, in your area, just send us an email real quick at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We will be glad to schedule a training seminar for your company, or if a number of you would like to put together a seminar to be held in your area, we will be glad to do that as well. Just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Looks like we have a caller, and we will be taking him. Good evening, Private Officer Talk Radio. Looks like they've hung up, so we will move along with our program here. Let me see, what else do we got to tell you about? Yes, we have some birthdays we want to share with you tonight. Paul Sharpen in Fort Worth, Texas, is 51. Stacy Cole in Maryland is 47. Stephen Downs in Spanish Fort, Alabama is 60 today. Marty Wise in Martinsville, Virginia, no age. Mo in Kansas City, Missouri is 30. Lou in Boynton Beach, Florida is 61. Congratulations. Happy birthday to all of you. Also, Raymond Strong in Chesapeake, Virginia, Martin Hunter in Roswell, Georgia, Carl Rogers and Peter McGregor in Tampa, Florida, have completed their Certified Asset Protection Professional 2, and we want to say congratulations to them as well. Great job, guys. Right now, we are going to switch over to our training segment, as we do have a guest coming onto the show here momentarily. Hopefully, we understand that they are on duty. But tonight, we're going to be talking about private police and how that works in a number of states. We will be talking a lot about the state of Virginia because they have a very unique setup. But if you live in Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Missouri, Kansas, Massachusetts, and some other states, they do have a statute for private police. Private Officer Radio, you are on the air.
Hey, this is Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You are live on the air. One of our guests here is Bill Crawford. He is calling from the state of Virginia. I understand you're at work, actually, tonight. Is that right?
Yeah, just about every time we get to talk, I'm stuck at work.
Okay. Well, we won't keep you that long. There's a couple of specific things I want to go over about the state of Virginia, because the state of Virginia is pretty unique. But tonight we are talking about private police and how it operates and the statutes in the various states. Now, in the state of Virginia, it's very unique because it's one of the only states that I'm aware of that actually allows private security not only to arrest a person, but also to transport that person to the magistrate and to the jail. Tell me a little bit how that works. I'm sure that you've made a number of arrests in your career in Virginia, but that seems to be very different from what most states operate.
Right. Most states don't allow it. Virginia, armed security only are granted the powers of arrest, powers to issue summons, actually traffic citations as well. We are authorized to transport. Most companies kind of shy away from it, and we try to get local police to assist us with that. Private security, as far as armed security, is not allowed to process prisoners, but we are allowed to transport them down to the magistrate.
Now, I understand that in the Richmond area, that seems to be a conflict with the local police department as far as transporting. They don't always like to do that. Have you had that problem?
It depends. A lot of times local law enforcement, mainly Richmond Police Department, the outlying counties, they want to be sure that you followed every guideline you should have followed before you made your arrest and during your arrest. It puts them in a big liability if, you know, all the P's and Q's weren't followed just right.
Exactly. Now, in the times that you've transported, do you feel concerned about your safety? There's a lot of liability. It's definitely a safety issue. I'm sure that some companies do have cages and whatnot in their vehicles separating the prisoner, but not everyone. So is that a concern for you?
For us, not really. If we have to transport, we'll actually chain them and use the seatbelt harnesses on them. Some companies, they'll put them in their personal vehicles to transport them down. Insurance is a big issue with that. The company's got to have insurance on the vehicles. Usually if we have to transport, we'll actually put two officers in the vehicle.
So Virginia is very unique because I personally don't know of any other state that allows transportation of a prisoner by a private security person. So that's very unique. You know, I don't know if that really is a plus for clients or not, but it's definitely a liability for the security company. But it's very unique. Tell me any experiences that you've had in your security aspect in dealing with arrest in Virginia and transporting prisoners and things of that nature.
Most of the time, the arrests we make are going to be DUIs, drunk in publics, domestics. We have made quite a few narcotics arrests. Me and my former partner have actually made Project Exile arrests here in Virginia. As far as transporting them, like I said, we utilize company vehicles, companies rated with insurance to transport. We'll have two officers in the vehicles with us. The main problem we have is more into processing and logging evidence as private security.
Now, when you... As a security officer in the state of Virginia, when you bring the prisoner in, the Sheriff's Department processes the offender. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we'll take him before the magistrate and present evidence. The magistrate deems whether it's warrantable or not. Sheriff's Department will take custody of them at that time and take them back and process them. We'll usually go back with them during the processing and obtain our paperwork.
And let me ask you a question now. When you are at the magistrate, you have the prisoner. Is there a holding area for that prisoner, or are they standing there with you while you get your warrant signed?
It depends on the locality. Richmond City, we actually have a sally port that we'll go through with a video conference room, a small area where they'll actually have a video screen with the magistrate on the screen. The outlying counties will take them in, and there's usually a cordoned off area for us to speak with the magistrate with the prisoner. We'll present the evidence in front of the suspect, and he'll give his side as well, and then the magistrate determines from there.
It's very much like being a law enforcement, just in the state of Virginia when you're an armed security officer because you have such, you know, a large range of authority that most states don't allow for private security.
Correct.
Let's switch over a little bit. I know that in Virginia they have what's called the Special Conservator of the Peace, which is known as a private police officer in most states. And I know that you have a little bit of experience with that. Now, in that capacity, that allows you a little bit more authority. Has it aided you in any way, or do you think it's equivalent to an armed security officer's authority for the state of Virginia?
It actually limits what you can do. As private security, the state doesn't require you to have probable cause to approach, do stops, pat-downs. As private police or special conservators, we fall under everything we do is at probable cause. With my guys, with my security guys, I make sure they follow the same protocol either way. But you're not even forced to Mirandize a suspect as private security. But as special conservator, you have to follow every guideline that's set forth by the state.
Right. Now, as a conservator of the peace in the state of Virginia, you have a little bit extra training, and it also allows you to serve warrants. And
correct.
To execute warrants, which a security officer cannot. It also allows you a little bit more latitude in your search parameters as a law enforcement officer. So I guess it helps on that end of it. And there are certain clients who like the fact that the person has, not only arrest authority, but that they are actually special or private police. So in some
correct.
Cases,
correct. A lot of our properties have public streets that run through them. As private security, you don't have any authority on the public streets. And that's one of the benefits it gives us as special conservators. We can actually enforce on public roads and around outside the property.
Exactly. You can also make traffic stops, which a private security officer on a public street can't do.
Correct. We can do traffic stops, run radar, almost anything that public law enforcement can do.
Exactly. A recent check showed that there were 1,400 special conservators of the peace in the state of Virginia. Does that shock you?
Not really. Believe it or not, it would seem to be a little bit higher than that to me.
And
a lot of these communities are relying more and more on the private sector other than the public sector.
Right. State of Virginia said there's about 1,409 conservatives of the peace or special police currently in the state of Virginia. For the audience that's listening, I just want to go over a couple of things. We're talking about private police, and in the state of Virginia, they're called special conservators of the peace. But we are talking about private police. And really, the use of private police is becoming more frequent. There's about 14 states that currently have some form of private police. Virginia, like I say, is a little bit more unique because they allow a little bit more latitude for the private police. Many states do not allow transportation of the prisoner. They don't allow citations to be issued, but Virginia does. And so it seems to me that more states are opening up to the idea of allowing private security who are properly trained to have the extended authority. And have you seen any downfalls to this in the state of Virginia?
I really have, especially dealing with local law enforcement. Being a former police officer with a city, I can understand their point of view. Most police officers go through a 13-week academy. A lot of your special conservators go through a 40-hour academy. So there's a little bit of a dissension in that as far as, you're putting people on the street affecting complete arrest through the state of Virginia that really don't have the type of training that the police departments themselves do.
Right. And that's kind of set them off a little bit. I'm sure that they're not too happy with that in some cases. But I have talked to others in the more rural areas that actually cooperate much better and appreciate the fact that they don't have to get involved in so many little, you know, misdemeanors and crimes happening on the private properties, that private security take care of those. So
right.
It depends, I guess, where you're at.
It does. Mainly what we're seeing, and the clients are talking to us about it, is they like the idea of private police because, for all intents and purposes, they have sworn police officers dedicated to their properties 24 hours a day, as to where the public law enforcement, they're really stretched thin. And you really can't count on response times. You can't count on the number of response. You know, so it's opening their eyes a little bit more towards the private sector of it.
Well, there's two things that we have seen recently with the number of law enforcement departments who are budget constrained. They have a lot of layoffs. In fact, 9 police agencies across the state have closed up and turned over their jurisdiction to the Sheriff's Department. Response times have gone up in many cases. And so you're seeing, you know, more properties not only employing security, but employing additional staff. And I think you're going to see that more as the economy continues to tank instead of, you know, turn around.
We've seen a big boost in it here within the past, I would say the past year.
Yeah, I think that's going to continue. I think that trend will continue. What else would you like to tell us about the state of Virginia, how private security operates or private police operates in the state?
On a whole, it's not bad. We fall under the Department of Criminal Justice. A lot of us are pushing for regulations that would increase the training that our officers are getting. We're being put in capacities. Me and you have talked personally about it several times. You know, we're being put in the capacity of public law enforcement for all intents and purposes. And we're trying to increase the training and the awareness of it so that officers aren't out here making mistakes. It limits that. It limits the liability. It also gives us a better image out here on the street when dealing with public law enforcement.
I think Virginia is actually one of the states that's really on the way. There are, of course, some holdbacks, but I think that Virginia has a grip on what is needed for private security. And, you know, traveling the way that I do, we're involved in security across the country and around the world with our association, and I see Virginia wanting to improve training, wanting to improve standards, and I think they're one of the better states, actually.
Yeah, the training is out here. We're getting training together. A lot of us do it on our own. We notify outside agencies, outside training companies, and we'll try to bring them in. And it's the same problem all over. It's a problem of cost, and that's one of the things that we're working with several organizations to try to get the cost cut down a little bit for us.
Well, we're working right now to put together a free weekend seminar in Virginia, both in Richmond and in Northern Virginia. So we'll be announcing that coming up in the next month or so. Probably most people can afford free.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, I won't hold you anymore. I will be in Virginia Thursday and Friday, and maybe we can get together for lunch at that time.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it. I want to thank you for the work you all are doing too, because I mean, you all really make us in the image, or get the image of us out there where people can recognize what we're actually faced with out here.
Well, I do want to remind you too that this week is the 4th annual Private Officer or Private Security Memorial Week. We are recognizing those officers killed in the line of duty. 690 officers in the last 5 years. So kind of let other officers know about that. We don't have any ceremonies planned this year in Richmond. We will next year for sure. But there are a number of ceremonies throughout the country that's happening. Some information on the website and also on the forums. But just kind of remember that and remember those people. And just, you know, if you have, I'm sure that you're in uniform. If you have a black band, wear it across your badge.
We're one step ahead of you. We actually have a memorial set up between several companies that quite a few officers are going to get together on Friday and have a little memorial for the officers that we've lost and the officers that others have lost over the past few years.
Well, I'm in town, so let me get together with you tomorrow and we'll talk about that.
Outstanding. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, Bill.
All right, thank you. You have a good night.
Yeah, be safe. As you can tell, the state of Virginia is a little bit unique, as, you know, many states do allow private person arrest for private persons. And about 14 states do allow a number of people, a number of states do have private police or special police and certain police authorities. But Virginia is very unique because they allow transportation of the prisoner. Private police can serve warrants. They have much more latitude, much more authority than other states allow their private or special police. Now, there are a number of other states. We're going to be talking more about the state of Virginia in another program. I actually have another program scheduled where we'll be interviewing some other people in law enforcement and private security to talk about the uniqueness of the state of Virginia. But, you know, there are some other states. North Carolina has an excellent private police program. It is under the 74E statute, if you want to look that up, and that allows private police agencies and private police officers in the state of North Carolina. Those are used for shopping malls, hospitals, private businesses, as well as private security agencies within themselves becoming a private police force. That gives them the authority on any property that they are contracted to have private police authority. They can make arrests, they can do traffic stops, DUI arrests, and so forth, just like in the state of Virginia. But the difference between North Carolina and Virginia, North Carolina does require that anyone who is a private police officer, or it's called company police in the state of North Carolina, anyone who is a company police officer who falls under 74E, they must go to the regular municipal police academy, and they must undergo the entire basic law enforcement training course, about 600 hours of training, and they must qualify as any municipal, county police officer or deputy sheriff would throughout the academy. They must go through the agility, they must go through the classroom, they must pass on the firing range, they must pass all aspects in order to get the basic law enforcement post-certification, the police officer standard training certification from the state of North Carolina. That allows them to be a police officer on private property, but it also unilaterally allows them to become a basic law enforcement officer for any police agency in the state of North Carolina. They can transfer from, let's say, XYZ hospital police over to public police without going back to the academy because they've already been through the basic law enforcement academy. There are some drawbacks to the program, but there are a lot of pluses to the program. In the state of North Carolina, if you are going through the basic law enforcement training program, most of the time, as long as you have someone who signs off on the application and you pass all of the minimal requirements, you're admitted to the training, which is held at area colleges, community colleges, and most of the time, the state pays for your certification. The pluses to this, like I said, is you can go from private police into public police without any further training. You can also go to university police, like the University of North Carolina. You can go to, you know, the number of other university police departments. You can go to the sheriff's department, usually without any further academy training because you have gone through the academy. You're more recognized in the state of North Carolina as a law enforcement officer because they know you have gone through the steps the same steps that they have, that you have accomplished the same training that they have, and sometimes that helps, you know, in rapport and in the way that public law enforcement looks at private law enforcement. North Carolina offers an excellent program. However, the drawbacks are people who normally could not pass a agility test or police requirement test to get into the academy, maybe overweight, maybe an older person, would not be able to do the physical training that a young person would be able to do, and that would cut back or even get them out of the running for being in the academy. So those are some drawbacks. You may have some good officers who, you know, would be good private police officers on their property, but because they can't pass the agility or because they're a little bit too old or whatever the case might be, in the gates, it leaves them out. And it may be something that the state of North Carolina may need to look at if they are applying to be private police just to be private police and not public police. They may want to maybe lower the requirements for certain section of those applicants, but they do have an excellent program. Now, in the state of South Carolina, just over the border, they have statutory authority, as Virginia does, both statutory because it has been written into law. The state of Virginia and the state of South Carolina have similar language in their statutes. It allows private security who have completed the set training to effect an arrest, a police arrest, on private property. And they have the right to take the person into full custodial arrest. And they are deemed by statute to be law enforcement. South Carolina has a clearly written, strong language statute that says that private security making an arrest is to be considered law enforcement while on their property, the same as any deputy sheriff or municipal police officer. In the state of South Carolina, those arrestees are generally transported by the sheriff's department or local law enforcement and not by private security. However, again, this is statutory, which means that regardless of who likes it and who doesn't and what law enforcement department isn't happy or whatever, it is in the statute, and it allows them to do so, to make the arrest and to act as a private law enforcement agency. In many of the resort communities in Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach, places where they have a lot of activity, a lot of visitors, a lot of things happening, especially in the summer season, private security make lots of arrests in those areas for everything from being drunk in public to felonies for drugs and weapons. And law enforcement appreciates their involvement because it takes it off from them. They can go about their business and concentrate on other types of crimes happening in their community. So South Carolina has a very strong language that is proactive, pro-private police in their state. North Carolina has a very strong law called the 74E statute, which allows private police officers and agencies, but you must go through the academy. The states of Massachusetts and Missouri also have statutes which specifies the increased amount of training for private police officers. The state of Massachusetts has a lot of private police in hospitals and universities and companies, and some are private state police, which gives them more authority, a larger jurisdiction. Again, there are certain criteria, curriculum, and restrictions that they have to meet. But they do not go through a full academy. They actually go through, I believe, about 100 hours of classroom and other training. And There are other states that allow private police as well. With the cuts in the budgets, with the economy being the way that it is, with police departments laying off left and right, I think you're going to see more of this. I think you're going to see more states becoming involved in allowing security, which currently outnumber police 3-1, become more involved in the enforcement of law on their properties. Again, there are, with anything, as with anything, there are pros and cons to this. If you were to ask me, am I for this? Yes, I am. Am I, you know, going to be shouting on the mountains about, you know, security are now cops? No. When you are working in private security on private property and you have certain crimes occur, and we've talked about this before on the program, if the police arrive and they don't see the crime in progress, if it's a misdemeanor, they can't make an arrest. If you tell the police that someone was trespassing and now they're walking down the street, well, they can't make the arrest because the person no longer is trespassing. Police cannot make an arrest for shoplifting if they don't see it. They can transport on your complaint. They can transport the person on your warrant that you get at the magistrate's office, but they can't make the arrest. Allowing private security to have certain arrest authority alleviates liability from the police force. In other words, the offender can no longer sue the police department for false arrest because they didn't arrest them. They didn't even have anything to do with it. They may have transported, but that's it. It alleviates problems between the police, between them testifying on the crime that they didn't see, and it puts all of the weight on the shoulder of the private security officer, the client, and their company. And if the company and the client and the security officer is willing to bear that liability, if they're willing to be the ones on the line, should they mess up, should they screw up, should they do something they shouldn't, then give them the authority. Let them make the arrest. But there has to be strict training, increased training. There has to be restrictions. I'm not so sure I'm happy with the idea of transporting a prisoner to the magistrate or to the jail by private security because that really makes them more law enforcement. That takes them off the property. It takes them away from their main job, their main duty, and that is to secure that property. I'm not 100% sure that I can go along with that aspect of the private policing, something I'm going to have to consider and think about more. But I do think that private security should make arrests for trespassing, disorderly conduct, drunk in public, domestics, drugs, weapons, things that they see. They should get full cooperation from law enforcement. And as long as they are following protocol, as long as they are within the law, as long as they have crossed their T's, dotted their I's, law enforcement should be happy because these are less calls for them. These are less things they have to worry about. It allows them to get more involved in other areas without having to worry about dealing with private security, without having to worry about dealing with these minor crimes, and it allows them, it frees them up to go out and, you know, get more involved with other things. We'll be right back.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
5 Lincoln 103, 5 Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
responding to 401 Park Instructor Section 1, boy.
Hi, this is Rick McCann, host of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, founder and CEO of Private Officer International. Are you the owner of a private security guard agency? Or maybe you've been thinking about starting your own guard service. Perhaps you're in law enforcement and you moonlight as a security officer just to make ends meet. We all know that in this business, things can go from good to bad in a heartbeat, just like that. But when they do, we'll have your back. At Brown Yard Programs, we've been helping the security industry protect themselves since 1993. Give us a call today at 1-800-665-7305 or find us on the web at www.brownyardprograms.com. Brown Yard Programs, we protect the protectors. Protecting life and property. Recognize those officers during the week of September 18th through the 24th, 2011, the fourth annual Private Officer Memorial Week.
Cracked a brick when you hit the wall, yeah. So you didn't do your best. It pulled you down faster than a sunset. Hey, it happens to us all. When the cold hard rain just won't quit and can't see your way out of it, you find your faith.
All right, we are back live here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Tonight we are talking about private police and how it differs state to state. There's about 14 states that we know of that do allow private police or do have private police, either commission or statutory. And we do see that increasing as the economy continues to go downhill. Many police departments are understaffed. Some police departments have called off their academies, no longer are recruiting. We just heard this past week that in Birmingham, Alabama, they're considering shutting down their court system because they can't afford to pay their court security. And if that happens, can you imagine all of the court cases that will be stacked up? I think that would be a violation of the constitutional law of a speedy trial. It's already a problem in the court not getting your case heard in a reasonable amount of time. And if a court was to close down, even for a week or two, it could be catastrophe for sure. But we are talking about private police, and many security officers already have private person arrest authority in many states. They can already make a private person or a private citizen arrest. But in about 14 states, they actually have a little bit more authority because they have statutory authority or commission. They're commissioned to be private or special police officers. And it does help. It also does hinder. As Bill was saying earlier from Virginia, it does hinder you in ways for instance, when you have someone in custody as a security officer, you don't have to Mirandize them because you're not a law enforcement officer. You don't have to do certain things. You have a little bit more leeway as to what you can do on private property. However, when you are a private police officer, a special police officer, special deputy, you do have to Mirandize them. You do have to operate under the scope of probable cause instead of reasonable suspicion. You do have to be careful when you search, when you stop and frisk, unlike a private security officer. So there are some setbacks being a private police officer or a special police officer, but there's also some pros to that, as with anything. And, something more that we will be talking more about in the upcoming shows. We have several other guests that will be appearing from out in the Midwestern states to talk about how private policing works out there. But it is something that we need to stay on top of as trends are turning. And, in fact, we've mentioned this before, but private police was used back before World War I and World War II quite frequently. And then back, toward around the 60s, they were done away with as more public police were hired. So I think we're seeing a turn of the trend again back to the way that it was, a lot more companies wanting private police. But we'll be talking more about that in the upcoming months, I'm sure, as we monitor a number of states who are now considering it. And, the U.S. is not the only place that uses private police. If you look at England, Europe, Canada, many other countries that do use some form of private police. In England, they're called special constables. Same thing in Canada. We just got an email a couple weeks ago from our friends in St. Kitts Island. They just graduated from a special police academy where they are now constable, special police, and can make arrests. And so you're going to see this becoming a trend in America even more than it already is. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We want to talk a little bit about the news headlines, what's going on in the news before we wrap up our show for tonight. In Clarksville, Tennessee, over the weekend, five people died. They were found in a RV. Police are investigating, but they believe it could be carbon monoxide poisoning. It may be that they had a generator of some type that evidently leaked into the RV, and all five were killed. Autopsies are currently underway. In Maryland, Prince George County, police say that they've captured a serial bank robber. Samuel Lewis, 44, of Beltsville, Maryland, is charged with seven armed bank robberies that occurred between October of 2010 and September of 2011, and he is possibly responsible for at least five more. Police departments in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia are looking at him as possible suspect in a number of their bank robberies. A Fort Drum soldier turned himself in over the weekend. He was wanted for a rash of crimes. PFC Russell C. Markman, 20, was considered to be armed and dangerous as well as suicidal. According to state police, he and an accomplice with a stash of guns went on a crime spree over the last week. Police have said that he is wanted for a number of burglaries and other crimes, and they do intend on charging him with that. And a suspicious vehicle over the weekend in Atlantic City closed down the Trump Taj Mahal as security personnel spotted a suspicious vehicle contacting police. They closed down the garage and a number of streets until they could deem that vehicle to be safe. In Port St. Louis, Lucie, Florida, a 78-year-old man shot to death his 21-year-old wife and then committed suicide. 21-year-old wife. Police are investigating, but they do believe that this is a homicide-suicide. And North Carolina police there last week announced a brand new computer system that will allow police agencies across the state to access criminal records from the same database. Criminal Justice Law Enforcement Automated Data Services, CJ Leeds, merges four main law enforcement databases and over 41 million files. According to law enforcement, this will allow them to automatically see if an offender is on probation, if he's wanted, and no other facts before approaching him. Police say that they are looking forward to this. San Rafael, California, a security bouncer was stabbed and knifed. Police say that John Sable, 41, was arrested after he did commit the assault. Police say the security officer turned the man away after creating a disturbance earlier. Let me see. What else is in the news? We got quite a bit going on, as always. I told you a while earlier in the show that a shooting did occur at the Lowe's Home Improvement in Concord, North Carolina. That's just outside of Charlotte. Police are reporting that it was a domestic. Both husband and wife are dead. They are investigating. Fairfax County Auxiliary Police celebrated a milestone this weekend, reaching more than 1 million hours of volunteer service. The 115 active law enforcement auxiliary officers provide details such as traffic control, manning sobriety checkpoints, and responding to calls after receiving up to 400 hours of training. Also in the news, looks like that a deputy sheriff died over the weekend. Deputy Derek Whittle of Union County, Georgia, died. He had been involved in a motor vehicle accident earlier in the week, and unfortunately he succumbed to his injuries. In Lakeland, Florida, over the weekend, a gunman killed his wife at their Florida home and then burst through the door of a nearby church, shooting the pastor and the associate pastor. 57-year-old Jeremiah Fogel is in custody. They're not sure why he went after the pastor, if there was any relations to the shooting. They're investigating. They just don't know. Also in the news, a shoplifter in Council Bluff, Nebraska, was involved in assaulting security and an off-duty police officer who tried to arrest him. John T. Chestnut is arrested and charged with attempted murder, three counts of child endangerment, and first-degree robbery after leading police on a pursuit after shoplifting some items there. Lexington, South Carolina deputy sheriffs report that they had to dodge, literally, televisions. Televisions that were flying off the top of a vehicle being driven by Edward Spellman, who stole four 40-inch TVs from Walmart. He led police on a pursuit, and during the pursuit, the TV just was flying off the top of the vehicle, and officers had to duck them along the pursuit. Washington, D.C. police say that a 10-year-old veteran of the D.C. Police Department was killed in a traffic accident while off duty. Police report that the officer, Officer Jelani Prather, died Friday after being involved in an accident where he struck a truck that was parked on the shoulder of the interstate. Lots of news going on, but we're going to leave the news there. And you can look at all of our news right there from our main website at privateofficer.com. We update the news regularly, and it is something that you need to follow. We have a lot of security-related news, information that you can use, not only for information purposes, but for training purposes. And we try to get people to understand the importance of looking at the news and, you know, using it for training purposes. Want to update you a little bit on our chapters. We have a number of chapters opening up. Go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the chapter link. You will find a new segment coming up there which will list all of the chapters opening. And if you'd like to be a chapter manager, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. Adminassist@privateofficer.com. That will conclude tonight's program. We hope that you enjoyed it. Be on the radio with us Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our LP Zone, and join us every Monday night at 7:30 when we will be having Private Officer Live. In the upcoming shows, we'll be talking with a sex crimes investigator from the Mecklenburg Charlotte Police Department, talking about how and what it is you should be doing when you respond to a sex assault crime, a rape. We'll also be talking about missing persons on your property and a number of other great shows coming up. That's all for tonight. Hope that you enjoyed it. Be safe. God bless. And we will see you again right back here on the radio.